Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to
The Naked Englishman.
And
with Richard Vobes.
And the lovely Julia. It is the 27th today of June. I nearly said July then, but then we would have lost a month. Where did it go?
It's not June. June. Oh.
Yeah.
It is June. I liked the way you said it.
June. Like sand dune. With a J instead of a D. It's funny, isn't it? Some words that you can say with a D or a G, J even, not G, that would be goon.
It would. Unless it was G-I.
Oh, yes.
Gin. And you're Italian.
Oh, yes. I. It's nice.
Giovanni.
Thank you for coming. Welcome to the Naked Englishman. This is the lovely Julia. She's a lovely. And I am the not-so-lovely Richard. Richard. And Riccardo, the great Riccardo. It is the course the 27th of June, 2025. It's funny how you say the word June. You could use the J and the D. Anyway, I think that was for the Italians, if they're watching. And now for the French. Welcome to the Naked Englishman, you sexy little beast. It is so nice to have you listening on the 27th of June. It's funny, is it not, how you say June? For you can use the letter D as well as the letter J. So, in Jean-Paul, I always use the letter Z. Zompor. He is strange. If you want the German, the Australian, the New Zealand, you'll have to tune in another day. Yes, so anyway, we haven't got very far in today's.
There's the morning giggles.
There's the morning giggles done and dusted. Thank you very much indeed. Yes, what was I going to say? I was going to say some other words. The beginning of time starts now. Oh, yes, I'm just looking down at Julia's cross aunt and happy uncle. She's left a croissant here, a cross aunt, which I think she's going to share with me a bit later on.
Yeah. I'd say, do you want some now? But you can't really eat croissant and talk into your little microphone.
Ah, no, I have a problem talking into my microphone as it is. Don't make it any worse. Yesterday, what happened yesterday? Well, not a great deal, really. A friend of mine came over in the evening, Kieran, a very nice chap.
And we had such a nice man.
Such a nice man. And he's a lovely bloke. He's had a little issue with his health. We'll just say that. I won't go into details because it's unfair. But both legs fell off and His ears folded up and his arms withered. But other than that, he was fine. It was lovely to see him. And we had a meal. He came over for a meal. And Emil said, hello. Emil and the detectives. I'm in one of those sort of moods today. Miserable. Not? Yeah, that's my miserable mood, ladies and gentlemen. What else happened yesterday? Well, I'm just trying to think. I did a bit of writing on the pipe book, which was jolly, but not very much. I have yet to read that to you. It's not a huge amount because I got interrupted by things. And
We went to the farm shop.
Oh, yes, thanks.
And we showed off the cover.
Yes, that's right. We went to the farm shop and we showed off the cover. Thank you. No, but we did. When I say that, we went to the farm shop in the van and saw the lovely people there because we get on with them very, very well. And
they're such a nice bunch.
They're such a nice people. and they don't have withered arms or
folded
missing
ears.
Yeah, folded ears and missing legs.
Or withered arms.
But they don't have any of that business. So, it's much easier to converse with them if they haven't got folded up ears or tongues that fall out on springs. Anyway, so we showed them because we'd been working the previous day on a cover idea for the book.
For the book.
For Biggles Wick.
The town that would not comply.
Yes. And they looked at it and they were very impressed.
Yes.
And I said, well, that's just a mock-up. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, they said, really, the final book will have a hangman's noose with me dangling in it.
Mm-hmm.
They said, no, don't be ridiculous. I said, oh, sorry, it's not that at all. No, we just showed them this image that we've got with, there is a picture of me on the cover. Yeah. That's all I'm prepared to say at the moment.
Showed them some of the pictures from the succession of
Yes, the thought process. Yeah.
And there was, quite frankly, raving reviews.
Raving? They said, yeah, I'll give you 10 stars out of 5. I said, well, you haven't even read the book. Oh, that doesn't matter. We book a book on it. We judge a book on its cover. And we know a good thing when we see it. Plus the fact, you'll buy more raw milk from us if you do that. That's true. So, oh yes, and also I got the quote yesterday. I think it was yesterday or the day before. I think it was the day before, actually. I got the quote for the hardback book, if I hadn't printed, which could potentially be manageable, depending on the number. Various people have suggested that we do pre-orders. I'm not sure about I always get a bit nervous having people's money before I can send them the product or before the product exists. I mean, it exists as a series of ones and zeros on my computer, but I would like to have the boxes. When I spoke to the chap, the run that I'm thinking of initially having, like 500 copies, he said would probably come in 20 boxes.
That's a lot of boxes.
That's a lot of boxes.
And that's a lot of heavy boxes too. And, I mean, what size are the boxes?
About like that.
Yeah. I'm just trying to.
He said they were lift upable. He said no more than 16.
We'll get Joe to carry them two at a time.
Yeah. And initially, it said on the quote, you know, you needed a delivery venue that had a pallet facility, pallet offloading facility. And I said, well, this would be a domestic house. And he said, yeah, no, we don't. That's just very old school now. We don't do that. They'll arrive in 20-odd boxes. And that's a lot of boxes. That will fill this room.
Yeah.
So one would then have to... have to sell these things fairly quickly, I imagine.
You will have to put aside a day or two of packaging them and sending them off in big batches.
Well, that's it. And the other thing you can do is go down to the post office and say to the post office, I'll pay up front, you give them a few hundred quid or whatever, and then they'll give you a code and you can just drop them off. Once you've posted and packaged them, you don't get a discount, but you can drop them off at the, not at the post office counter, but at the big post office. What do you call it?
The deposit box, or
What do you call the facility? The delivery yard, whatever it is, or the main
sorting office.
That's the word. Yeah, I couldn't work out what they called it. You can just turn up at the sorting office with a sack load of these boxes. And they'll just go, how many have you got in there? 20. Oh, okay. And they'll just deduct it from your credit that you've already given them. So that, in other words, you don't have to go down to the post office counter and wait and queue behind all the other people. You know, somebody who's sending 6 items, one to America, one to New Zealand, one to Australia. Or somebody who's going, I want a driving licence form, love. Yes, here it is. I'll need a photo done to do that. Yes, we can take that photo. Oh, sorry, everybody. I'm holding up the queue. I do apologise. I'm holding up the queue. Yes. Well, don't be so bloody gleeful about it.
I'm so sorry. Oh, people are tetchy, aren't they? I won't be a moment. You would take a photo now, lover. Where would you like me? I could sit on a nice deck chair and stand against this wall, yeah. Look like a prisoner, yeah, okay. Not so happy, your miserable face, there it is.
Yes, we can see your miserable face. Will you hurry up, please? Some of us are trying to get our letters posted.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. What is the world coming to? Do you feel better?
Yeah, I feel much better now. But you know what it's like. You're lining up there at the post office and there's always the one just before you. has a problem of some description that is in almost insurmountable, and you're, you know...
Oh, dear. How much is it? 49.5p. I've got the half p somewhere. I've got it here somewhere. Where is it? I've got half p somewhere.
You're going, come on, for God's sake, it's just half p, let her have it. No, we have to count every penny. Oh, I'll give you the bloody half p, I just need to... Oh, no, sir, we can't accept your money. It has to be the lady's money, or not at all, sir. You know, it's barking, isn't it?
Half penny,
eh? Half penny. Do you remember halfpennies?
No.
Do you not remember halfpennies at all?
I remember seeing them dotted here, there, and, you know, random little corners in my nun's
tiny,
house.
Piddly little, in the new money, because in the old money, a halfpenny was quite a bit, was bigger than a tuppence.
Mm. It's funny. I used to love finding them, though. So yeah. Tactile.
Yeah, tiny little things. I mean, you know, you could cook an ant on a halfpenny. On an old, you know, just about. They were so stupid, really. But yeah, I mean, when you go back to the 70s, and you, it's like we were watching an episode of Minder, weren't we? Mm-hmm. And they're in the pub, and they're saying, "Yes, that pint of beer will be 25p." 25p.
Jaws drop. Ka-gunk.
You know. As if that was an expensive pint. And you go, 25p? Oh, my God. Can you imagine a pint at 25p? Or some eggs at 12 pence. Mm. You know, dozen eggs, 12 pence. That's a penny an egg. A penny an egg? That's outrageous. Those eggs, a penny each? Good gracious. And it's hard to imagine those times and thinking that such small denomination. That's the word. It's hard to imagine that things were so small, that small denominations had that kind of value in this modern world where everything is. I mean, it's not just expensive.
Well, but yeah, but I mean, a pint is what, £6 now, isn't it?
Yes, is it? £6.
And the rest, probably.
But what I mean is, it seems not so much that the value's gone up, but it's just that the unit to buy it is a high number.
Mm.
And, you know, it's kind of like when you're a kid, you used to hear of these countries in Europe. I'm just trying to think of one, like Czechoslovakia or somewhere. And I remember my dad saying, oh, yes, when I go to Portugal, you know, a pint of beer is like... 400 escudos, and you go, bloody hell. It's not so much that it is actually very expensive, because it's pro rata, everything, you know, your wages might be 1,000,000 escudos, so your pint is now 400, is a very small portion of your wages, whatever it is. But we've got so used to things being of so many pounds, and when you think of anything of being pence, it seems ridiculously cheap, especially if it's, I don't know, anything like a taxi ride. You know, you just go a couple of miles down the road. Now that will be 20 quid, 30 quid, something like that. But it might be, yeah, that's 30 pence, please. And you think, 30 pence? When you hear it, it's just shocking, really. Then you realise, actually, the amount of inflation. And when it was really low, you wonder how people managed to value things. Because when, say, a loaf of bread was 3p, if a loaf of bread is 3p, how much would be a small cake? Just one singular cake. And then if, say, a singular cake was a penny, and you think, well, a penny... If something was less... And what would a cake be now in a shop? 3 quid?
And the rest.
But even
it depends if you...
Yeah, so what would you buy for a pound now?
A cheapy tube of paste? Yeah, toothpaste.
Toothpaste? So... Right. So, yeah, so toothpaste. So if a cake is threepence and a toothpaste... So if a cake now is, say, £3 and a tube of cheap
cheap tube of toothpaste is a pound. If your cake is three pence, that means it's a penny for a tube of toothpaste. Mm. You know, if it, but things were different then, because a tube of toothpaste would, I imagine, would be more expensive than a cake back in those days. It's just because you didn't have supermarkets in the same way as we have today, and therefore supermarkets have artificially dropped the prices of things, and you would probably have paid more for your toothpaste and valued it a bit more than you do today, when supermarkets have a plethora of cheap and cheerful, nasty, poisonous items for almost zero money. But our perception of those things, so in other words, we buy more because certain things are cheaper, and we don't have any value for those things. Does that make sense? It's just I'm just trying to sort of work out the how, when money was in pence, shillings and pence, it seemed to have more value, even though it sounds ridiculously cheap today, than today things don't have any value, even though the unit number is much higher. Does any of that make sense? Am I just talking rubbish? People had in their houses fewer items, because I think they were perhaps more expensive or lasted longer. Whereas I think people have in their houses more items of junk. You know, let's take that place that you hate, Timu. Is it Timu? Timute?
Yeah, however you Timu. Pronounce it. T-E-M-U.
T-M-U. T-M-U.
T-E-M-U.
Which is what, cheaper than Amazon?
Yeah.
So you end up buying more shite and more materialistic things because...
Made in less productive ways.
Yeah, because it's cheaper. And you can live like a millionaire, apparently. But does a millionaire buy cheap tat and shower his house in all this crap that doesn't last 5 minutes? Or does a millionaire buy more expensive items that are better made, but fewer of them, and have less items in his house because his house is bigger and more grandiose? May not be. Of course, it's down to his personal taste, of course, and his artistic merit. He may well have a house just full of shite. So I'm not really exploring the idea terribly effectively, but it does seem to me that if you have the access to stuff which is just so cheap and cheerful, you tend to... Oh, I don't know what I'm saying.
It made sense to me.
Oh, good. I think I've just bored everybody rigid with that thought. Be interested to know what you think.
But you are right, though. A rich person would spend more money on one single item, so they're more likely to have a sparser home. Like you say, they'd have more likely to have a bigger home. But rarely do you see, not that we see many rich people's houses.
No, but they say you see rich people's houses represented on television, magazines, newspapers and the internet, I suppose, in things like Facebook or what have you.
Which is hardly an accurate representation of anybody's life.
Well, exactly. And for all one knows, they're just as, you know, a rich person is just as clunky as the next person. I think that's probably my impression of what a rich person, and maybe it used to be like that. You know.
Mind you, just a sudden thought. For example, a rich person buys a jumper that they like,
yeah,
an expensive one, but they might buy six of the same in different colours.
Right, because they could, yeah, if they really like it. I mean,
so they might still have quite a cluttered house, but each item is more expensive and more carefully thought about in that way.
Yes, and I suppose also it depends if they have a cluttered mind. They always say your house represents your mind, doesn't it? If you have a cluttered house, you have a cluttered mind, because if you had a more uncluttered mind, your house would, you know, your surroundings reflect how your mind is. And that makes perfect sense to me.
To a certain degree.
Because if you're very pedantic, let's say, in mind, then you're going to be more, well, that must be over here, that must be in its box, that's got to be on its shelf, you know, that floor isn't clean. Of course, I'm not saying that's 100%, of course, by any means, because we all have different aspects of ourselves that is reflected in our life, in the way we dress, in the way we have our being, and what, of course, is within our financial control.
Mm. It's like cluttered house, cluttered mind, but sometimes it's this, you know, you said cluttered mind, cluttered house, which is quite true, but sometimes it's the cluttered house creates the cluttered mind, and it's a kind of a vicious cycle.
Yes, absolutely. I think there's a ping pong between the two things. And of course, then it doesn't help if you have other people in the house who are then blurring the edges
mm-hmm.
of whose cluttered mind or whose uncluttered mind it is.
Indeed. You know?
So you could have a couple where one is very slovenly and just chucks everything all over the place, doesn't wash up, doesn't clean, doesn't hoover, doesn't do anything. And the other one, who is Mr. or Mrs. Spick and Span, and you've got then, you know, you could imagine the arguments between uh-huh. them going, darling, why haven't you done this? Why haven't you done this? Why haven't you done that? Why haven't you done that? And the other one is, oh, relax, for goodness sake, love. You know, enjoy your life a bit, love. Come on, for goodness sake. Carol, pull that away, love. Just sit there and have a beer. Yeah, but darling, oh, for Christ's sake. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Who's going to sit? Oh, yeah, you're still it. You know, so you can imagine those sort of arguments going on all the time. Anyway. Probably bored you senseless there, so good. Until next time, I hope that you have a lovely day, this Fridaddy. I can tell you that it is a little overcast. It was raining at some point in the night because it was wet on the ground, but I think the sun is trying to escape. So, have a good one. Till then, thank you, Julia.
Thank you, Richard. Have a lovely day, everybody. And if you didn't smile at this, well, I hope you find some smiles somewhere
today. Yeah, find a smile somewhere, for goodness sake. There's one just under your feet, so, you know.
What?
Well, there's usually a smile under your nose.
Fair enough, yeah.
So
that's where to find one, if you've got to find one.
If you can't find one, check under your nose. Till next time, arrivederci. Bye for now.
Daddy bye.